If he's been good to you, let's give him praise and magnify him. What a good God. What a worthy God. We worship you, oh God. We magnify your name. We lift you. We lift you. Ah, hallelujah. 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 Ah, God is so very good to us. What a great day to be in the house of God and to be alive in his kingdom. Praise God. What a great announcement, Chrissy. Your first Mother's Day cookie. All right. That's just wonderful. Praise God. And for our sister that just received the Holy Ghost and went down in the water in Jesus' name. Excited about that. How wonderful God is. And 60 or more kids in that Friday Bible study at Tarrant High School. Every Friday for the last several months. They've lined up a lot of them for Bible studies. I think 7 or 8 said they wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. And they're following up on them. And so that has all sorts of wonderful potential. Just extremely excited about that. Well, praise God and happy Mother's Day. And we stand in all sorts of fluid, seasonal life situations here. And so, for one, it's a brand new day. For another, perhaps we're walking away from a graveyard just a few weeks ago. And so it is seasonal, this business. So it goes without saying, but if you're going to celebrate people, you need to do that today. If you're going to be good to people and kind to people and loving, you need to do that today. Because today's the only day you have any real power in. So you need to be a good boy and a good girl today. Celebrate your mama. Praise God. So, we're going to read this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I appreciate Sister Sutton, the mother of my girls. She's given me the greatest gift that anybody could ever give me, this side of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's just an amazing thing. And she really has been the glue and the cultural designer for not only our home, but to a large degree, this church fellowship. And I appreciate her so very, very much today. Wonderful, wonderful lady in the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians 3. And we're going to read 4 through 6 and 10 through 14. And I'm going to endeavor to get you out of here because you're doing stuff today. Some of you have multiple mothers to celebrate and all kind of logistics to accomplish. So I don't want to be standing between you and those things. Least of all a big Mother's Day meal or something. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 4. And we have confidence. This is Paul talking to the church again at Thessalonica. And we're making our way through the New Testament. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul's talking to the church. And he says, I got confidence. You're going to do. You're doing it now and you're going to continue to do what I've commanded you to do. Verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. If you wondered about the origin of that word. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. This is tough business Paul's conducting in this letter. God bless you. If you love the word of God, let's praise him as we're seated. Give him thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, Lord God, and we worship you, and we thank you, and we magnify you. You're a wonderful God, and we thank you for your word in this house today. Praise God. And everyone said, praise the Lord. Praise God. And tell somebody by you, happy Mother's Day to you. Praise God. So in this reading here, Paul is commanding. Four times in seven verses, he commands or speaks about a command that he has given. And who do you think you are, Paul? You're telling me who I can associate with? You're telling me if I don't work, I don't eat? If I don't do my chores, I don't get to eat? And busybodies, who's a busybody? Who are you to say somebody is a busybody? You're not supposed to judge me. Did you tell me to be quiet? I just read it. He did. And who are you to say, be quiet? And then at the end, you said, shame on them. Or shame on them. And don't you know we live in an era that's beyond shame? How assertive. How intrusive. Commanding, and don't fellowship this one, and label that one, and judge this one, and be quiet, and don't be a busybody, and you work or you don't eat. This is difficult. This is this is intrusive. Who has the right to say things like that? Well, Mama can. Who do you think you are, Paul? You think you're my mama? I want you to know today, if you're going to be a part of God's kingdom, the church is going to be your mama. God is your daddy. The church is your mama. And if you don't have a daddy, you're a bastard. And if you don't have a mama, you're homeless. And you're going to be a urchin in the street spiritually. And you have very little hope of success or fulfilling your potential, or having the slightest idea of what God's calling is for your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Can you imagine modern Christianity receiving this letter? I command you, I have commanded you, I have faith that you're doing right now what I told you to do, and that you're going to continue to do that. And for those that aren't doing it, cut them off. And those that are busybodies, stay away from them. Label them busybodies. And those that don't work, they don't get to eat. Who can talk like that? Mama can. You know, I didn't get the opportunity. We buried my dad when I was 15. But I could see a collision course coming. And I could see that one day we were going to be standing nose to nose in some place in that house or out in that field. And I was going to call him and we were going to go to it. That was coming, because he wasn't a good guy and I wasn't a godly boy. And it was coming to be a storm. I could see that. I can feel that today. And I can understand that that was a distinct reality. But my mama, there's no way in God's earth I ever would have stood nose to nose with my mom and tried to back her down. Besides the fact she had bigger arms than my dad. And she did. There's just something about mama. And I venerate her. And I treasure her. And she could walk up amongst us and flail away with switch or stick or belt. And beat everybody just on general principle. Because somebody, she knew, somebody was doing something wrong. And the rest of us were guilty because of all we had done that she didn't know about. And so we just thought it was probably appropriate. She was old school. And she was tremendously strong and very diligent. And she had the right to say anything she wanted to say. And I can hear her saying any of these things that Paul said. I can hear. You know, through the Old Testament, Israel was the bride of God. Israel, if you would, was God's wife. So when you're reading along and Israel's gone off to worship the Philistines' gods or the gods of the Amalekites or some pagan god, God calls it adultery. He uses it multiple times throughout the Old Testament. It's one of the most common charges he makes against them is adultery. You've gone off with other gods and you belong to me. Israel was his wife, his bride. There are two women in the life of God. One is Israel and the other is the church. So God pursued Israel and God married Israel. God had a covenant with her. He didn't have a covenant, a vow, a contract with anybody else. He had a covenant and a contract and a vow with Israel. If you, as an Assyrian or a Philistine or a Hittite, if you wanted to come and be a part of the plan of God, you had to become an Israelite. And you had to come under the Abrahamic covenant of circumcision or the Mosaic covenant of the law and circumcision. And you had to come in through that. And you could become a part of the kingdom of God, as did Ruth, who was a Moabitess. And we find her in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And Rahab, the harlot in Jericho, that helped the spies before the conquering of Jericho. And God gave her a special dispensation. She was allowed and her family was allowed to live. And she came in and she becomes a part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And God has an open and a universal door that is open to everyone. But the church is as Israel of old, is your mama. And if you want to come into the kingdom of God, you have to come in through the church. You say, I can't find God off by myself. You cannot. Not fully, not completely, and you can't live for God off by yourself. Got to be a part of the church of the living God. Now, we could move into different metaphors. The church is God's cultivated field. You have to be in the field. The church is the body of Christ. You have to be in the body. You can't cut a part of it off and throw it away and let it try to live on its own. And so all of those metaphors are exclusive in the way that we understand that it's necessary to be a part of the church of the living God. But in this discussion this morning, the church is mama. The church is the bride of Christ. She's mama in covenant and in birth. John chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, there are basic entry-level requirements. You've got to be born of the water, which is baptism, and of the Spirit, which is the infilling of the Spirit. Or you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You did that before. You got to be born of the Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. You don't know where it came from, and or whether it goeth. You don't know where it's going to. When you hear the wind, you see the effect of the wind. You don't know where it originated. You don't know where it's going to. You just see the effect of it right there on the spot. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't know where the Holy Ghost came from. You don't know where it's going after this moment, but you can tell because you can hear the sound thereof, and it is so appropriate with everyone that received the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. They all spoke in tongues. You didn't know where the Holy Ghost came from. You didn't know where it was going to, but you could hear them speak in tongues. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And you hear the language of birth. It's a new birth. And you hear the language of travail. In Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Travail is the word that is used for the birthing process. And so Jesus on the cross is going through a birthing process. And when they plunge that spear into his side, forthwith comes blood and water. It's talking about being born. The church was born out of the side of Jesus Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. The church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. For this cause, down to verse 31, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Everything that a man and a woman are supposed to be in marriage in a biblical, godly way, that's exactly what Christ is with his church. And so the church becomes the bride of Christ, but also becomes the mama or the mother of the children of God. Praise God. So like a bride takes on, if we had a wedding here today, we would say, who gives this woman to be wed? And the father would say, I give her, because before she's married, her father is her covering. But when she's married, now her husband is her covering. This is a biblical concept, a theological concept. When you come into a relationship with God, God's covering is upon his church. And you come into that covering when you come into his church. When we conduct the ceremony and we exchange the vows, then we introduce the couple, and now the lady has a different last name. She's taken on the name of her husband. That's exactly what happened this morning when this lady went down, this good sister went down in the water in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, she went down in the water, and something changed in the heavenlies, and something changed in her life. She took on the name of the bridegroom. She took on the name of the family. She took on the name of God. If we've been baptized into Christ, then are we Christ, and we have taken on or put on Christ. And so Christ comes on you at baptism. If you ever wondered where the blood was applied, it's in baptism. If you've ever wondered when the name was attached to you, it's in baptism. If you ever wondered when you became a part of the family of God, it was when you went down in the water in Jesus' name. Somebody say praise the Lord. So like a bride takes on the name of her husband, the church takes on Jesus' name in baptism. And the biblical church baptizes not in titles, but the biblical church baptizes in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so the wife or the church takes on the name. It is the only name. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so the whole family of God in heaven and earth is called by that name. And you need to have that name applied to your life. And the place where that happens is in baptism. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. It's the name that every knee has to bow to and every tongue has to confess. It's the name of God's family in heaven and in earth. Well, praise God. And I want to tell you that you come into that family name through mama. You come in by papa or by the father, but you come in by mama or the mother. And it is a joint effort. And the birthing process, though, is carried by the mother. The seed is planted by the father. But mama carries the baby, and mama nurtures the baby, and mama gives birth to the baby, and so forth and so on. You can follow those analogies as far as you like. But I want to suggest to you today that you can have the right daddy and have the wrong mama. I want to give you a biblical sequence to help you understand that. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. And this is a discussion of the boys that were born to Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. Here's the ticket. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child. And all of the promise of God to Abraham was contingent on their having children. And they were getting old. And you can see the tension ratcheting up in the story as you're reading through those chapters in the story of Abraham and Sarah. And when God called them to go down to Canaan, they overshot the runway and went down into Egypt. And they picked up a little Egyptian handmaid by the name of Hagar. And then when Sarah couldn't have children, she says, Abe, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. So here's what I want you to do. God's keeping me from this. So this is how I want you to defeat God. Or I want you to make an end run against God. I want you to go into Hagar and have child with her. And you and I can have children by Hagar. And that's the plan of the flesh. That's the plan that doesn't wait for God. That's the plan that doesn't believe God. Hagar is not the one. Sarah is the one. And God repeats that throughout. So here it is, for it is written, Galatians 4:22. It is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid or a slave girl, the other by a free woman. That would be Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. They both had the same daddy, but one was man's idea and one was God's idea. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. And what Paul's going to teach here is the separation between the law from Sinai and the time of the church age or the time of Jesus Christ. These are an allegory, for these are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, because if you live under the law, you're going to live in bondage. Which is Agar here, but it's Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. And he's speaking of the fact that after the coming of Christ, after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, after the gospel was open, after the veil in the temple was torn, and the time of Moses was passed, and the church age had dawned in Jerusalem, they were still trying to live under the law of Moses. And Paul said they are under bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, talking about heavenly Jerusalem, is free and is, or which is, the mother of us all. He said that old law, it served and it was good and it was God, but now the veil in the temple is torn and now we're moving into the church age, and now God's pouring out the Holy Ghost and he's giving a new covenant which is better than the old covenant. He's going to write his law on the fleshly tables of your heart. He said, I'm not going to live in the back room of that tabernacle anymore, but I'm going to live in the tabernacle of your heart. I'm going to fill you up to the overflowing with my spirit. And this is the way that Paul speaks about it. He said, Jerusalem that you see here on the earth is bound up by the law. But he said, Jerusalem, which is above, heavenly Jerusalem, is free. And it's the mother of us all. Now, to get into how you can understand what he's talking about, Jerusalem, which is above, for you are not come. We're reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. You are not come to the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Paul's teaching about what they got at Sinai. He's describing Mount Sinai when God visited there and gave Moses the law, down to Hebrews 12, 22. But you are come to Mount Zion. Now, Zion is the mountain in Jerusalem upon which the temple was built. Today there is a mosque of Omar. There's a Muslim temple there. There's a Muslim mosque there. There's soon to be another temple of Israel there. But that's another discussion for another time. But Mount Zion is the mountain itself. It also has become representative of Jerusalem. It also has become representative of the people of God, not only in the Old Testament. So in the Psalms, you may read, let Zion shout. He's not talking about the mountain or the temple there. He's talking about the people of God. And so it becomes a representative thing that represents the people of God. And then you move into the church age, and Zion then represents the church age. And that's what Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is speaking here. But you are come to Mount Zion. You haven't come to the Mount Sinai. You haven't come under the law, not to that old covenant that God made. But now you've come into the church of the living God. And to the city of the living God. Watch what he says. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. You see what he's teaching here, that Mount Zion or the heavenly Jerusalem is the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So just wanted to explain to you, Paul's teaching us about heavenly Jerusalem, and he says that is representative of the church today. So back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. If you're a part of the church of the living God, you're as Isaac was to Abraham, because he was born of Sarah. He was born of promise. And if you are born into the church of the living God, then you you are as Isaac was, you are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, Ishmael was going to persecute Isaac. And from then on, the Ishmaelites were going to be enemies of the promise of God. And as he persecuted the one that was born of the Spirit, so even is it now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And what he's teaching here is that boy was born of Abraham's seed, but he was born of the wrong mama. He was born of Abraham's seed, but he had an Egyptian mother. And God had said, you wait on Sarah. I'm going to cause a child to be born of Sarah. And you've got to wait for the promise here. And I just got to tell you this morning, there are people that are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in all sorts of settings in the world today. And on the one hand, it's a good thing because God's able to fill them and to draw them. But I'll tell you this, if God pours out his seed or his spirit, as Abram poured out his seed into an Egyptian mama, it's not going to be a good outcome. When God called Abraham to sacrifice his son in Genesis chapter 22, he said, now Abe, I want you to take your son, your only son, up onto a mountain that I will show you of, and I want you to offer him there as a sacrifice. If we're just bystanders, we have to say, but wait, God, he's got Ishmael over here, and he's got Isaac. He has two sons. God's not talking at all about Ishmael. He said, I want you to take your son, your only. What was the difference? The difference was which mama that child was born to. They both had the same daddy. But God said, I'm only going to recognize the one son. In Hebrews chapter 11, it said he offered up his only begotten son. The writer of Hebrews doesn't even recognize that Ishmael was born. You know who Ishmael is? Ishmael's the father of the Arabs. Ishmael's the father of Muhammad. Ishmael is the father of everything that's trying to drive Israel into the sea right now. Ishmael is everything in this world that is rising up to hate the promise of God. If you wanted further corroboration with that, it's not very far down in the scripture. You come to the story of Joseph, and Joseph was cast into a pit by his brethren, and Isaac has Jacob, and Jacob becomes Israel, and Jacob has 12 sons, and Joseph is among them, and the brothers hate Joseph, and so they cast him into a pit, and lo and behold, before they can kill him, a band of Ishmaelites come along, trading down into Egypt, and they take him. Judah says, hey, let's don't kill him, let's sell him. What profit is it if we kill him? And so they pull him out and they sell him. And the Ishmaelites take him down into Egypt and sell him. Because the Ishmaelites are from Ishmael. And Ishmael is from Hagar. And Hagar is from Egypt. And he's got it in him. And he's got relatives in Egypt. And he's got business connections in Egypt. And now he's running caravans back and forth into Egypt. And it never stops. And his linkage with Egypt never stops. And you don't want to be a child of Hagar. And you don't want to be a child of the wrong mama. You want to find the one that God is married to now. You want to find the one that bears the name of the bridegroom. You want to find the one that's living by the marriage vow and by the marriage contract. You can have the right daddy and have the wrong mama. And I just gave you an hour Bible study in about 15 minutes. I hope I didn't fry your brain. You want to be sure. Ishmael's daddy was Abraham, but his mama was an Egyptian named Hagar. The church is mama today. You want to find the church of promise. How do I identify that? By the word of God, the way that everything in God's plan's always been identified. You mean there's an Egyptian church on every corner? On every corner. Familiar with Egypt. At home in Egypt, not walking by the contract, and God doesn't even recognize. You say, God won't recognize them? In your leisure, read Matthew chapter 7. He's talking about obedience to the word of God. And he said, many are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We've prophesied in your name. We've done many mighty works. And he said, I never knew you. Depart, it's Ishmael all over again. Now, I'll tell you this. Those people, I believe, have the Holy Ghost. Because I was raised Southern Baptist. We didn't cast nothing out of nothing. We didn't prophesy. You understand? The language that's used there is the language of the Spirit. We didn't have any moving of the Spirit at all where I was raised. So these people are filled with the Spirit. They've got Abraham's seed or the Father's seed. But they've come up out of the wrong mama. And like Ishmael, God doesn't even recognize them. He said, I never knew you. You better look. Is my upbringing Egyptian or is it biblical? Is my mama Egyptian or is she of the promise? The promise, you can do a overview study, comes all the way from Abraham, runs all the way through the patriarchs and into the New Testament. And Jesus said, guys, I'm about to ascend into heaven. You go back down into Jerusalem and you wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard of me, because here, not many days hence, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And when you do, you're going to receive power to become witnesses unto my name, beginning at Jerusalem. They receive the power of God. They receive the promise of God. When you come into mama's house, mama sets house rules and mama disciplines. You may or may not put your feet up on stuff, depending on mama's house rules. You may not wear shoes in mama's house. But however it is or whatever it is, you do what she says. Everybody said amen. Mama sets rules. Mama talks about when we're going to eat and how it's going to be and what we're going to eat. And mom lays down rules and laws about all that. I don't want to get into a big political discussion this morning. And you may want to talk about this afterwards, but I just want to focus on one point. I was watching a news clip and I saw a young man with a black mask on and a hoodie. And he was in an angry crowd of young men in a dangerous city, in a dangerous setting where people had already been hurt and things had been burned up and cars had been, I think he burned 1,100 cars and storefronts and people's businesses were torched and all of this. And they're out in the street for another day of it. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the cops and the guys in black hoodies and all of this, this mama walks out. And I mean, she's got a right arm that won't stop. She's pow, 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 pow. She's not coming back and forth. She's bam, 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 bam. And he's not bracing her. And he's not saying, now listen, I heard the audio. She's cussing and screaming. She's not where she needs to be in God. But for a minute there, mama just rose up and said, not my baby, not my boy, not on this street corner, not like these fools. You're not going to be fellowshipping this. You're not going to be a part of this. You don't understand. You belong to me. And as long as you belong to me, I'm telling you. And that kid was like somebody whipping a dog. He was. And I thought about him and my heart went out to him. Everybody was celebrating the mama. Not everybody. But I thought, he's going to move to Detroit. He's going to have to leave because he's going to face his friends. Your mama, oh, your mama. When he starts walking up on any street corner, she knew who he was. He had his face covered. She knew exactly who. Mama knows. Mama knows. Oh, by the way, if you ever are down here praying for the Holy Ghost, And you need to have liberty in that. And you need to speak in tongues because everybody in the Bible that gets the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. And that's, there's this wonderful liberty and you're going to continue that in your prayer language. It's going to be a part of your dynamic spiritual life thereafter. But if the church hears you speaking in tongues and they verify it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, don't you go away saying, well, I don't know if I did or not. Mama knows. The baby may not know. The baby don't have a brain in his head. The baby's just laying there in the nursery. But if mama says you got the Holy Ghost, mama knows. Now, I want to comfort you by saying, I want you to know. I want you to have the confidence of it. But I am telling you, mama knows. She saw that boy. She knew that was her. That's my boy. She came out of wherever she was watching the riot on a TV set or something. She came out and jumped right. Who goes into the middle of a riot with a purse? Bam, bam, bam. And he took it. He took it. He didn't say a thing except a few yelps. He took. Who can do that to you? Mama can. Who can treat me like that? My mama can. Who could come in here right now and beat me if she wanted to? My mama could, and you just have to hold on and wait and let her get it out of her system. Because it would just have to be that way. Mama broke out all over that poor kid. He's never going to be the same. And nobody's going to look at him the same. So the church is the bride of Christ. The church then is the mother of God's children. She carries them, she nurtures them, she raises them, she disciplines, and she sets house rules. And so Paul's talking, and he's a guy, he's an apostle, and there's a great authority there. But he's speaking with the voice of the church. And in this, there's a voice that's like mama's voice. And he says, I have confidence in the Lord. We're back in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command. I know you're doing what I'm telling you to do. I know that you are. And I know that you're going to continue to do. And there's a threat involved in that. There's no doubt about the threat there. He said, I know you're doing what I told you to do. Verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. And she says, or he says, and you know everything I do, everything I'm doing with you and everything I'm doing to you is because I love you. Now, don't you break your daddy's heart. Don't you break your mama's heart. You make your daddy proud of you. Praise God. Antoine. You want to tell a story? This is a very interesting story. And theologically, you do with it what you want to do with it. Theologically, I like it.
Praise the Lord, church. This week, I got an interesting text from a friend of mine that I've met just over the past year and a half through my business, Discover Birmingham, and we're casual friends, and she texted me this week and said, hey, I'm praying for you guys. This weekend, she knew that my mom had passed away last March, and she told me, she said, by the way, I had a dream about your mom earlier this week. Well, I perked up at that, and she said, you know, I never met your mom, but she came to me, and she had a picture of you in a suit. And she said, this is my son, Antoine. Tell him that I said to watch what he eats. Now, my first response is like, Mom, like, you're in heaven. Like, of all the things, I need direction on some stuff here. And you're talking about watch what you eat. And I sent her a picture. And, of course, she had never met my mom. And she said, I know I never met her, but she looked just like you with dreads. Oh, that text just got a whole lot more credibility. But yeah, I don't know.
I do. You better watch what you eat. You know, we know and love Sister Cynthia. And she's in the presence of God and the angels. And I don't know exactly all about that, but boy, that sounds dead on. The description is dead on for someone. And that's so perfect to take someone who didn't know your mom. That is so perfect. So she's not even letting death, hell, and the grave. Somebody say, Mama won't stop. No, she won't stop. Let's clap our hands unto God and bless his name here. We bless you, Jesus, and praise you and thank you. Magnify you, O God. In verse 6 there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now we command you, brethren. I tell you what, you step up in some of these Hagar Egyptian churches and go to commanding people this or that, they'll be writing a pink slip before you get out of the pulpit. But Paul says, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which we've already, which he received of us. And here's the voice of Mama. Now, I've already told you, don't you be hanging around with those boys. Mama told you that. You're better than that. I've taught you better than it. Paul is telling them, you're better than that. Don't be hanging around with that. I don't want to see you down on that corner. I don't want to see you with them anymore. Now that's Mama and that's family, but you try that in an Egyptian church and that won't work. But I will tell you this, this is a church of promise. This is a church born of promise. This is not an Egyptian church. We believe in separation. And when the word of God comes down, it's an order from on high. Mama's got a right to tell you, I don't want to see you hanging with that man, that boy, that girl, that woman anymore. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. There's a lot of people that don't believe that, but there's a lot of people that want to go to an Egyptian church. Go ahead. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And Mama says, yes, I'm cooking today. Yes, it's all the things you love. And no, you're not eating at my table if all you do is sit around like a lazy bum. I taught you better, and you know better, and until you do right, you get out of my kitchen. And all the mamas said, amen. You don't work, you don't eat. The Bible is not a welfare Bible. God's kingdom is not a welfare kingdom. If you fall down, if you're broken, nobody minds giving you a hand up. But it never meant to be a six-generation lifestyle. This is not a political statement. This is a very, very biblical statement. You don't work, you don't eat. Mama has a right to tell you that, and it's good for you. You don't need to be a sluggard. Well, praise God. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. She said, I saw you down on that corner standing around and talking. I know you've been down to that house again, just sitting around and talking. Mama probably told you that idle hands are the devil's workshop. You need to have something to do. Man, woman, whatever you are, you don't need to be sitting around talking all day. You need to find yourself some credible, honorable work to do, some ministry to be involved in, and get yourself busy around the house of God and around your house. Somebody say praise the Lord. And Paul just labels them, and Mama labels them. She said, these people are busybodies. If you're sitting around talking about everybody else's business, you're a busybody. If all you can do is chatter, you don't have solutions and you don't have ideas and you're not improving anybody's quality of life and you're not bringing value to the discussion. You're just talking about people like they're news events about what was wrong here and who did wrong there or whatever. You're a busybody, Paul says. And he's slapping the hand of every busybody. I can hear old brother C.G. Weeks yelling, you hear me? Listen. And he's preaching. He's preaching to the church, and he says, you hear me? You better hear me. Listen to me while I'm preaching to you. Verse 12, now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Quit jabbering. Work. Eat your own bread. I'm telling you, you need to live for God. You need to get away from busybodies. You need to be quiet. Who are you to tell me to be quiet? Who are you to judge me and call me a busybody? We're the church of the living God, and we are the mother of the children of God, and Mama has house rules, and Paul's just touching some of them. You people are living under the law. No, we are not. We're living under, if you mean the Mosaic law, you're right. We're not. We're living under the perfect law of liberty. We're living under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And Mama is comforting and Mama is kind. And she says, I know you get tired sometimes doing the right thing, being the right person. It takes strength to stand up and do the right thing every day. But he says, don't be tired. Don't be weary in well-doing. Verse 14, Lindsay, come help. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. And if your friends don't walk by these house rules, cut them off. Praise God. And so this is intrusive and assertive. But that's why we tell all of our young people, before you get involved with a young lady, gentlemen, you come talk to your pastor. Because Mama wants to have some say in your life. And you've got grits for brains if you don't do that. Young lady, before you get involved with him, come and ask. It may save you a whole lot of heartache. There's some things you might need to know that we're not going to stand up in the pulpit and say. And we won't say them to you, but we will tell you yes or no. Green light, red light, or wait. You know, you say, well, that's disrespecting of their individuality. And that's, no. Try that with your mama. Well, I'm being an individual. Wham! That kid out in the street. But mama, pow! But mama, pow! But mama, pow! I was out at the end of the drive with Ashton a few weeks ago. And he, you know, at that age, they like to explain everything and talk about everything. And it's a long discussion. But I didn't need a long discussion. I needed him to get up out of the sand pile and get back and get off the street and come on to the house. And he's standing there and he's saying, well. And he's going to give me a big, long talk about it. I said, if you say anything else or say well to me again, you see this switch? I'm going to beat you with this switch. And he said, well. And he told his mama, my grandpapa beat me with a stick. And he did. Because there's a time when you just got to say, now, right now, come on, we got to go. Because there may be a day when there's a danger there. There may be a day, it just doesn't matter. You need to be on a tight enough tether that when mama says, come on, you got to come. When mama says this way, you got to go this way. When mama says, don't go there, you don't go there. And when mama says, get away from that boy, get away from that girl, get away from that man. No, I don't think it's a good time right now. You need to be able to say amen. Well, praise God. Are you glad to be a part of the church of the living God? Praise God. Praise God. And Mama, I appreciate you. I really do. And I hope that you understand that being compared to the church of the living God is a great, great compliment that God has given you. God teaches us by these relationships. But today, the direction of this is less celebratory of Mom and more intrusive, assertive, just the way Mom is. If you're going to live for God and be a biblical Christian, you're going to have to say what Mama says goes. How Mama wants it is how I'm going to do it. And know that she's the closest associate with the Father. And that they are one. He says, these two shall be one. Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm speaking concerning Christ and his church. And what Mama tells you is what Daddy told her to tell you. Praise God. You can do business with Hagar and Ishmael and an Egyptian church if you want to. And they're going to let you go down into Egypt. join the caravans and the parties down to Egypt. And it'll be a totally different life. And it looks very alluring. But Ishmael is still the enemy of God to this day. I want to draw close to him. I want to please him. I want to make my mama happy. I want to make my daddy proud. Praise God. Let's stand together. Let's just love him and praise him. I don't know what's happening in your heart or in your spirit right now, but I'd like for us all just like a family, come down to the altar. If you've got family here, get with them, please. If you've got your mom here, just celebrate her as you come and pray for her. And if you don't have family, find somebody and adopt them here today. Praise God. And I want you to just come and open up your heart. Let God talk to you. Somebody just needs to give God a blank check. Somebody needs to just tell God, God, whatever you want, however you want it, I want to be that person. I want to say yes to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're in the middle here, come on down close. Come on in close. There's people behind you that want to come down to the altar. Oh, how. Hallelujah. Oh, how he loves us. Check out somebody beside you. Somebody may need the Holy Ghost this morning. Somebody may need prayer this morning.
I'm a man.